In week one, we spoke about what does God want to do. No, we spoke about week one, we spoke about fasting. Because we're talking about the six different things that we accomplish. Six different things that breaks down the flesh. All right, it's coming up in a minute. I'm not saying it right. This thing is playing me up. Let me use this instead. All right, I think I've got it going now. All right, so we ask a question. One of the questions we ask is, what does God want to do through me in 2026? And the key word there is through. But before God can do anything through you, let me mention something that I've not mentioned. God has to place himself or his spirit upon you. There is a difference. Okay, God wants to work through us. The Holy Spirit is in us. But God wants his Holy Spirit to also be upon us. Okay, covering our whole being. And that's what we're talking about, the intensified presence of God. That's what you're talking about. The Spirit of God coming upon you, okay? So that God can work through you. And we say that this year we're going to broadly focus on three different areas, broadly speaking, okay? We're going to focus on evangelism. We're going to focus on healing and deliverance. And it's not just physical. It's financial. It's mental. It's emotional. We're going to focus on those things. And also, I think for me, the most important is the number three, creating a deeper atmosphere in our services for God's presence to work. Okay? Breaking down the flesh. That means we want to create this year, we want to see a different atmosphere. So we're coming in with an atmosphere of worship, we're coming in with an atmosphere or heart for prayer. And what we're doing really is stilling ourselves and letting God work. We're creating an atmosphere for God to work deeper in our services. So that means more reverence. We don't come in with noise. We come in with reverence. You don't wait until Pastor Trevor or myself comes up here to lead pre-prayer. You come in and you bow your heads and you're praying. You come in and you do whatever it is that you need to do to create the right atmosphere for God to work. Are you with me, church? Yeah. All right, so this year we're focusing on those things. So last, like I said, week one, we started talking about the six habits that destroy the flesh. Week one, we spoke about, it's coming up in a minute. Let me go by my slides. We said some of the things in week one. We said quite a number of things, actually, and we spoke about fasting. But we said a number of things. Every day, we are either feeding our flesh or we're feeding our spirit. There's no middle ground. You're either feeding your flesh or you're feeding your spirit. Depends on where your focus is, okay, and where your heart is. But we said also that Galatians 5:16 says, I say then, walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You don't not fulfill the lust of the flesh by trying it through human effort. You succeed in not walking in the flesh by walking in the spirit. So it's either one or the other. And God's word gives us the solution for walking in the spirit. And we spoke about this then, and we spoke about what that means so many other times in this church. Habit one was fasting. And we said fasting is not optional. But Jesus said, when you fast, not if you fast. Okay, and we looked at that from Matthew 6:16. Last week we spoke about two habits. We spoke about feeding on God's word, and that's got to be a daily feed. No word, no victory. We know that by now. And so word intake is not an optional extra for the believer. It's a must. If you're going to succeed, if you're going to succeed in anything God is telling you to do, you've got to walk in the spirit, and you've got to do that by taking in God's word and obeying it. Okay? And so Romans 10:17 reminds us, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right, we looked into that. We talked about that. We also spoke about prayer, fervent prayer. We spoke about fervent prayer. We said a number of things about prayer last week. Okay, because remember now, prayer is a Christian's umbilical cord. As a baby needs the umbilical cord coming from its mother to receive and to dispel, to receive nutrients and dispel waste. Even so, prayer is our connection line to the Lord. We need it to receive whatever God wants to give us, but we also through prayer, we repent, and that's one of the things we're going to look at today. And we lay down the things of the flesh through the realm of prayer. When you pray, heaven moves, hell backs off. When you pray, your spirit rises and your flesh sits down. When you pray, you can't walk in power if you don't live in prayer. So if I'm going to have the power of God working in my life, my personal life and otherwise, then I've got to live a prayerful life. And again, that's not an optional extra. So we spoke about week one, we spoke about one. Week two, we spoke about two. This is week three. And I'm going to talk to you briefly about three things. The three other habits that destroy the flesh. So when I practice fasting, I'm actually doing what is required for me to break the flesh. Amen? Amen. When I have word intake, I am actually doing what is necessary for my spirit man to receive to break then the arm of flesh. When I pray, I'm also exhibiting a spiritual force, okay, that puts me in line or on the path of where God wants me to be or wants me to do, so that His purposes will be prevailed in my life. Okay? So that's three things we've dealt with. Now today we're going to look at the other three, and I'm going to be brief with these. Now habit number four, daily repentance. Everybody say repentance. Repentance is not an optional extra. Repentance is not an old-fashioned thing. Sometimes we listen to certain people. I listen to preachers, and I listen to teachings from other people. I feed my spirit, but I feed it in different ways. And one of them is by listening to people and also reading books. And sometimes I hear certain things coming from certain folks talking about that there's no need for repentance anymore. But even this morning, I don't even realize it, but we've sang a couple of songs that actually talk about repentance. When you're talking about, I'm going back, actually what you're singing is, Lord, I'm repenting. So let's look at that word very briefly. It means to go back to the top. R-E, to go back, and pent, to the top. So when you repent, you are saying you're going back to the top. And that's what we're singing this morning. I'm going back, Lord. Where are you going back to? You're going back to the Lord. You're going back to the top. Why? Because you realize that you have fell from where you were. Okay? And we're going to look a little bit more on this. Ephesians chapter 2. Okay? Verses 2-6. 4-6. Thank you. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4-6. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And verse 6 says, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Do you see that? So when you fall in sin or whatever, you fall from the level that God wants you to be, from where, when we repent, what we're saying, Lord, is we're going back. We're going back to the top so that we can be seated together. I've got it on the screen, verse 6. Just verse 6. So, because I want you to see it quite clearly. And raised us up. So even though we fall, God is able to raise us up. Isn't that good? God good? I mean, we don't praise him enough, you know. He's a very good God. He raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. Heavenly places. So you're raised up. You're going back up to the top of where you were, where Christ wants you, seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And one of the things we know is that when you're seated in heavenly places, or when you're high up, you don't even have to be in heavenly places. When I went to the Empire State Building and I looked down, everything looked small. The cars looked small. You people, when I went to, you could hardly see the people, but you could if you really looked to see these little specks moving. And everything looked small. Why? Because my perspective was coming from a different place. It was from a height. Okay? I was high up. And when we're seated with Christ Jesus high up, even though our problems are enormous and great and terrible sometimes, you know, here on this level, when we're seated with Christ Jesus, it doesn't look as bad as it is. And this is why the presence of God is so important. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You still got the problem, it's still there, but somehow it's not amplified as it is if you are on a different level. And that's why we've got to be seated in heavenly places. That's why we've got to repent, to go back to the top where Christ wants us. Let's look at a few scriptures. Just a few. Okay, Acts 3:19. Repent, therefore, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. And this was Peter preaching to the multitudes on the day of Pentecost, I believe, around that time. So that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So why should they repent? Well, one of the reasons is that their sin should be blotted out, but not just that, but so that times of refreshing. We repent so that times of refreshing may come upon them. How many people want to be refreshed by the Lord? Yeah, so therefore, there are times when we just need to repent. Repent from whatever it is that we need to repent from. So that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. God wants to bless his people. He wants to elevate them. Okay, so 2 Corinthians 7 verse 10. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted. But sorrow of the world produces death. 1 John 1:9. And then I'm going to move on. 1 John 1:9. You know, we quote this quite a lot. I do anyway. Quite a lot because it's so important. If we confess our sins, and by the way, this is John writing to fellow believers. And he's saying, if we confess our sins, okay, that is repentance, by the way. Okay, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Come on, everybody say all. Say louder, all. All unrighteousness, okay? All unrighteousness. So when the devil comes and tells you, look how you did this, you did it last week, you did it the week before, look, you did it again. Just call the scripture to him. Put him under your feet in Jesus' name. Because you're God's child. Can I get a loud amen? Amen. You are God's child. And if God says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from not some, but all unrighteousness. But what do we have to do? We have to confess. Now, if we don't do that, if you can't kill what you hide. You can't kill what you hide. So no point having it there and just hiding it. No. What are you hiding it for? Who are you hiding it from? You know it's there. God knows it's there. You can't kill what you hide. You can't conquer what you are still hiding. So even after hearing that you need to deal with it, you're still hiding it. No. You can't conquer what you are still hiding. And you can't kill the flesh if you are still covering for it. If you are excusing yourself from doing what you know you should not do, then you are covering it, you're not dealing with it. You are letting the flesh rule, reign in your life, and that should not be it. So what should we do? Well, three things. Number one, admit it. Number two, repent from it. And number three, conquer it. Can you say that with me? Admit it, repent from it, conquer it. Say it again. Admit it, repent from it, and conquer it. And that's what we need to do. Alright? That's what we need to do. Conquer it. Didn't realize it wasn't up yet. So that's what we need to do. Okay, that's repentance in brief. Number five, the fifth habit that we need to focus on to kill the flesh, okay, is silence and solitude. That is so important. Silence and solitude. Wow, we live in such a busy world now that this even sounds strange saying it. That we need to at times be silent, and we need to at times make sure that, you know, we have a time of solitude away from the busyness of life. Alright, so why is silence and solitude necessary? I'm going to give you a few reasons. Just a few. Alright, so this is not exhaustive. Number one, silence and solitude is necessary for proper focus. Come on, everybody say proper focus. Alright? Proper focus. Okay, stillness is the act of settling your inner world and focusing on the Father. Jesus did that many times in his ministry. He pulled himself away from the crowd, from the busyness, from the demands. from the urgency of others. He pulled himself away and spent time with the Father. We've got to learn to be still in the busyness of this world in which we're living, where the demands that are placed upon us is enormous. We've got to learn to pull ourselves away from the busyness of the world and focus on the Father. And that's what fasting, again, is about. That's why we do this. So we do it for proper focus, so that we can see correctly. Number two, we do it for rest. We do it for rest. Silence and solitude is important for rest. Jesus rested. He prayed and withdrew himself from the crowd's distractions and demands. And I put that up there because the Bible says that Jesus rested. So we don't just do it to pull ourselves away for focusing with the Father. Yes, it's part of it, but also for rest. Yes, he was a Son of God, but he was also 100% man. And so he needed to rest. All right? We also do it for, and by the way, the rest mentioned here is, I don't want to go into that, is different. When the Bible says, you know, in the days of creation, God created them on the seventh day, he rested. It's not a rest because he was tired. That's something completely different. When you look at the Hebrew word, that word means he pulled himself away from everything else because it was complete. So he wasn't tired, okay? Everything here was complete. But the rest used here in the Greek is different, okay? Because he was functioning as man here on the earth in an earth suit. So he needed to rest. You need to make time to make sure your bodies get rest. Are you hearing me, church?
Yeah.
But don't overdo it now. I think that's a danger as well. Overdoing your rest. Well, Pastor David, take me to rest. Yeah, but I didn't say lie down in the bed the whole day. Every day. No, but we do need to rest. I've learned that lesson. And, you know, I'm not getting any younger. But I have to bring balances into my life so that I can function and do what God wants me to do, so that my mind can be clear and my body can be, you know, the way, at the place it needs to be as much as possible. So I make sure that I rest. I make sure that I don't make demands anymore placed upon me more than I can handle or more than is wise. I pull myself away from things sometimes to get rest. Okay? And that's important. But why else is solitude and silence necessary? It's necessary for alignment. Come on, everybody say alignment.
Alignment.
When we talk about alignment, we're talking about proper positioning and placing for the kingdom resources and for kingdom power. That's what we're talking about. Alignment. Okay? So Jesus withdrew himself because authority requires alignment before miracles. So what am I saying? Jesus made sure that he was properly aligned with the Father. You see, because the Father is a source of power. Acts 10:38. For God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Okay? So God anointed Jesus, and God anoints us today. We are anointed for service. Anointing is always for service. And we are anointed today as well. But before we can get anointed, we need to make sure we're properly aligned. And that means an introspective look at our hearts, at our attitudes, at ourselves. Elder Debbie gave a very good, two days in our prayer together. She got us looking and reflecting on ourselves. And how many people got something from that? No. How many people got something from that? You should get something from it. And what she did was she made it available so that, like I've always said to you, and I said to you on that Thursday as well, on that day, whatever day that was, I said, make sure that you are looking and reflecting. Make sure you're taking action. It's not just going in and then going out, you know, but you are paying attention to what is being given to you. Okay? Because we need to be properly aligned so that God can do what he needs to do, release his kingdom resources, so that we can have it for proper function, carrying out the will and the purposes of God. Can I get an amen? So alignment is necessary. Alright? If your heart is anxious, your words will be fragmented. If your mind is scattered, your words will be diluted. If your spirit is unsettled, your words will lack weight. I'm being silent because this needs to go in. Because many times we just rush. But we got to say, no, no, no. Hang on a minute. How's my heart? Is it anxious? How's my mind? Where is it focused on? Have I got the mind of Christ? Well, how's my spirit, the real me? Am I settled or unsettled? Why? We ask ourselves the deeper questions. Very, very important. Silence and solitude is also necessary for preparation. Preparation for what? Preparation for service. Preparation to carry out God's will. Preparation to evangelize. Preparation to reach out to others. Preparation for whatever it is that we are called in that moment, in that time, in that sphere of time to do. We've got to prepare. Preparation is proof of value. So many of you work, and when you what you're going to do sometimes, I mean, all right, let me see, leave me. I was a teacher when I was living back in Jamaica, and I used to have to prepare my lessons. I didn't just go and stand up in front of the pupils and just teach. I had to prepare my lessons, and that preparation meant I needed to take time to write the lessons out. The whole body, and there was a certain way you needed to write it out, okay? So that I'm prepared, if you like, to deliver what I see that the students needed, or the curriculum saw that the students needed, and I just translate whatever it is into that lesson for that moment, in that time. We need to prepare ourselves to work for God, to do God's will. We need to prepare ourselves for service. Because I tell you, that's primarily why you're here on the earth. You're here for kingdom purposes. And God has assigned a purpose to your life. How many times have I said this? I don't know. And it's our duty to discover what that purpose is. And do everything we can to fulfill those purpose. And by the way, all of us have a responsibility to reach others. And so we're going to prepare our hearts for that. In the next few months, I'm going to be teaching. I'm going to be sort of giving some teachings, maybe on Thursdays, maybe on Sunday, I'm not sure yet, on this, on how we can prepare ourselves to others, for others, to serve others. Because that's what it's all about. So preparation is proof of value. Preparation. What is rushed is often ruined. I've said these things before. And what is prepared is preserved. So we don't rush into things. I've noticed, I've lived long enough to know that when I rush too quickly into things, I ruin it. Because timing is everything. Or maybe I wasn't properly prepared. So I've got to prepare myself. So I draw myself out, I draw myself away every so often. And the elders, the trustees rather, have given me 2 weekends away where I need to go away and just have time, spend time with God, spend time in the Word, spend time to prepare maybe a series that's coming up. And I do that. I pull myself out and take myself away. Not being consistent in that, by the way, because of other circumstances. But when I can, I do that. And I hope to do that this year. What is rushed is often ruined, but what is prepared is preserved. Okay? Very important. So let's look at some key points and then I'll move on. Key points of solitude and silence. Number one, it is intentional. It's not accidental. It's intentional. Stepping away from daily noise and demands for a period of time, whether it's minutes or days, that's a deliberate act. It's not accidental. That's number one. Number two, purposeful focus. Key points of solitude and silence. Purposeful focus. To engage in prayer, the Word, and also self-examination. Didn't Paul say that? Paul said, let a man examine himself to see whether or not he's in the faith. Not to see whether or not he's a Christian. No, you are a believer. But as believers, like we said, we fall from the standard, or we fall from the word at times. And so when we stop and we reflect, we see that actually I'm not where I should be. Actually that attitude, or those words, or those actions, that place that I went to, or what I'm listening to, I should not be listening to. We stop, we reflect. And then we say, hang on, that's not proper alignment. We're not aligned with God. I've got to repent from that, and I've got to refocus. Number three. And number four. No, let me do it one by one. Number three. Not isolation. Okay? Key points of solitude and silence. Not isolation, I'll put there. Okay? Solitude is a chosen positive state of being with God. It is not isolation. That's different. Okay? That's different. Some people isolate themselves when they have problems. That is not biblical. You don't isolate yourself. You gather like-minded people around you, and you get them to share and to pray. That's what you do. We have a telephone prayer chain here, so that if you have any difficulties, any problems at all, you get on that chain, all right, and we pray. That's what we do. Okay? So solitude is different. All right? Because the end result of that will be you being built. But isolation is completely different. Proverbs 18, verse 1. Read that when you go home. A man that isolates himself rages against all wisdom. And, something like he has no understanding. Read it when you go home and you'll see what it says. Okay? The Bible is very clear regarding that point. All right? And the fourth point, spiritual renewal. Spiritual renewal. It offers refreshment. Okay? Peace and strength. So those are some of the things that we get from that. Habit number six, the last habit. Habit number six, the sixth habit that, or discipline, or habit that I need to create, okay, or implement in my life to break flesh is discipline. Come on, everybody say discipline.
Discipline.
What is it? I've made up my own definition years ago and I kept using it, okay? This is what my definition of discipline is. Self-imposed standards and restrictions placed upon an individual to keep him or her on a designated path towards the goal or desired destination. So it's standards that you set, standards that you implement in your own life, okay, to keep you on a designated path towards whatever it is that you're trying to achieve. Simply put, that's what definition is. That's what discipline is. Now, when we look at the word discipline, it has a root, or it comes from somewhere. And when we look at the New Testament, we see this word. Well, let me just put up a screen. We see the word disciple quite a lot, and we see that the 12 disciples became the 12 apostles. Okay, they were disciples before they were apostles. And when we look at the word disciple, it comes from a Greek word, mathetes, which means disciplined ones. And that's where we get the word discipline from, okay? Mathetes, disciplined ones, learners, followers. Okay, that's what that word means. So the 12 disciples were disciplined ones, they were learners, and they were followers before they became apostles. The word apostles means one sent forth. So before you can be sent forth, you have to be disciplined once. You have to be a learner. You can't run out and be doing things before you're even learning about the things you need to do. Okay? And so you become a disciple. Okay? And then from the word disciple, from moving on from being a disciple, you become an apostle. The word disciple is mentioned there in Luke 6:13. Which says, and when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. Okay? So that's just proof of Jesus calling the disciples, and calling them apostles, and sending them out. Why is discipline necessary? Discipline encompasses duty. You become a disciplined one to carry out the duties that you need to carry out. Okay? You can't be, if there's no discipline in your life, then you won't be effective at what you are doing. So you have to pay a particular attention to the duties that you've got, whatever it may be. You've got to pay attention to it to become effective in it. Now, duty is carried out not because you want to do it, but because you ought to do it. Not because you want to. Yeah, you may want to, but even if you don't want to, you carry it out because you ought to. So when you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, you understand that the requirements of Him and what He requires, what the kingdom requires, what God requires, that's what you are going to do, even though you might not feel like it. Anybody with me? You with me today?
Yeah.
So even though you might not feel like it, you still carry it out because you know that you ought to do it. Are you with me, church?
Yeah.
Otherwise, in this life, we'll get nothing done. And everybody moving according to how they feel, and then nothing happens because you don't feel like doing it. So it's important that we realize that. Now, your words can be harmful or healthy. All right? Your words are important. And I've taught enough on this. This is why I'm not even giving a lot of scriptures regarding this, because we've taught enough on this. And the Bible is so clear anyway. This is not an argumentative point. Okay? Your words are important. Okay, and they can cause harm or they can cause health to be released from you into the lives of others. And we don't want to become a people that are abusive with our words. And if you are a victim of such things, find your solitude, if you like, in Christ Jesus. Draw close to Him, man. Look, you can't control what people do, but you can control what you do. And sometimes what comes from people is not nice. Are you with me? Do you know what I'm talking about? In life, sometimes things that happen are nice. And there's nothing you can do about that. But you are responsible for you. Make sure that you are living at the feet of Jesus. And that you are doing the right thing, what the Word of God says. That's important. Alright, so let's give some food for thought. Let's have a look at number one. Repent means to go back to the top. Alright? Where you are seated. Where are you seated? Are you seated above or below? And that's a question for you to answer yourself right now. Where am I seated? Am I properly positioned? Am I properly placed? Or do I need to repent to go back to where I fell from? Am I becoming? Is another question. Am I becoming? Becoming is greater than doing. I can just do stuff, but guess what? Not become it. So becoming is greater than doing. So quietly, just ask you, just think about it. Am I becoming the person that God wants me to be? Am I being transformed? No. Is this word really working in my life? Am I doing something that I know I should not be doing, and nobody knows about it, and we forget God knows about it? So we got to think and reflect. Number three, do I talk too much? The Bible says, Proverbs 10:19, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. You get around certain people and it's just talk. Or you ask one simple question and it's just talk. No pausing, no reflection, no time for anybody else. Do I talk too much? In my prayer time, do I leave time for the Holy Spirit to speak to me? Or am I talking too much? Point of reflection, folks. Just to reflect. Because remember now, prayer is a two-way thing, not a one-way thing. Do I leave time for the Holy Spirit to speak into my own heart, into my own life? Do I have a proper balance in my life? Remember that balance is the key to successful living. Have I got proper balance in my life? If I'm all about work, there's no rest. We spoke about that earlier. Then I'm in balance. I'm not in proper balance. And it's going to affect my health. It's going to affect my thinking. It's going to affect every walk of my life. And eventually affect your relationship. It'll affect your function at work. Your function in ministry, in the church. So do I have a proper balance? in my life? Do I isolate myself when I'm going through challenges? And I spoke about the difference between isolation and solitude. Okay? Do I isolate myself? And it's never a biblical solution, never God's way. But God wants us to share, to impart, and to pray with one another. Number six, what areas of my life need discipline? Questions for personal reflection. What areas of my life do I see that actually needs discipline? Maybe you're good in several areas, but this one little area, don't ignore it. But bring it to the Lord and let the Lord speak to you and help you work through this. Number seven, am I pursuing excellence in the duties I am involved in? In other words, whether it's work or church or home, whatever it is, wherever your responsibilities are, am I doing it with the best of my ability? All right. When you clean the kitchen, do you wash the pots and pans? Or do you just leave them for somebody else to do? When you're vacuuming the room, do you just... See, I've seen smiles in certain places. I'm not going to look on anybody's face. When you vacuum the room, do you vacuum all of it? And do you do it properly? The stairs, the crevices, do you... are you doing your job properly? Is excellence found in my daily routines, in my daily duties? It's another way you can say it. Say it. All right, so... Isaiah 55, verse 6 and 7. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Hallelujah. We serve a good God, church. I said we serve a good God who is reaching out to us in every kind of way. I mean, God has given us his word. He's given us pastors and teachers. He's reaching out to us. He's given us his Holy Spirit. He's given us his angels. We have no excuse. We've got every resource that we need. And that's what Peter says, isn't it? First, 2 Peter 1:3. For God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. We have everything. We have no excuse. God has given us everything. But there are times, listen to me carefully, there are times, and I've mentioned this before, that there are times when we really, really need to call upon God. And can I suggest, during this time of fasting and prayer, these are the times that our voices really need to be activated, and we need to call upon God. And I'm talking about with every bit of your being. I'm not talking about just with your mouth, but from your heart. Call upon him. And it says here, do that while he may be found. Do that while he is near. Okay? Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Wow, that's good news for me. I don't know about you. I think this is the last screen. Yes. D.L. Moody, I've given you all these while I'm repeating here today, I've mentioned before, including this spring. D.L. Moody said, the fact is that we are leaky vessels. We tend to leak. You know? So now what we want is a fresh supply, a fresh anointing, fresh power. And if we seek it with all our hearts, guess what? We will find it. Anybody want a fresh anointing? Anybody want fresh power from the Lord this morning? Please understand, God is your source. Okay? And I believe this statement, okay, what it means. That sometimes we're leaking. That's what Paul said, let a man examine himself. I said that to you already. So that, you know, if there's anything that's found there that we can repent from it, that we can close up those holes so that we don't leak the blessing of God, but we're retainers of the power of God, of the blessing of God, of the word of God. And when we put it to work in our lives, God will move in Jesus' name. Let's stand on our feet, shall we? Let's stand on our feet. The first thing I want us to do, can we lift our hands and just begin to thank him? Just begin to thank him. Hallelujah. Come on, just thank him. Just thank him verbally. I need to hear you. Thank him. Just thank him for his goodness. Come on now. Thank him for his word. Thank him in the name of Jesus that he's given us the ability to conquer the flesh. Thank him this morning for his goodness and what he's done. Thank him for the job that you have. Thank him for the ear that you breathe, for the clothes that you have, for the family you have around you, for the friends you have around you. Thank him for your church. Thank him for the impact that he's going to have in your life this year, because God is a God of the change, and it's change that's coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing. Thank you, Father, that you're a God who transforms. Thank you, Lord, that you're a God who elevates and who blesses. Thank you, Father, you're a God of the increase in the mighty name of Jesus. You said no weapon formed against your people will prosper, and every tongue that rises against us, O God, in judgment we shall condemn it. Father, we thank you this morning in the name of Jesus. You said, behold, I give you power over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall that enemy hurt you. So we thank you this morning in the name of Jesus for victory. We thank you for healing this morning in the name of Jesus. Thank you for deliverance, O God. We thank you, Father, for the input of your power. We thank you for your word. We thank you for each other. We give you praise this morning, Lord, because you are mighty, wonderful, transforming God, and we give you all the glory, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. We need to really praise God, and we need to thank him, and we need to do it deliberately in the name of Jesus Christ. We're going to do something a little bit different. Can you grab somebody that you've not prayed with before? Go to somebody you've not prayed with before, one-on-one, and just breathe a word of prayer over your brother, over your sister. Come on, let's do this. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's do that. One on one. Even with children. One on one. Don't need to be in threes. One, if anybody's left over, I'm here. One on one. Please follow instructions. One on one. And if anybody's left over, I'm here. And that includes children. And just pray. Pray for your brother. Pray for your sister right now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we bless you this morning, and we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, for each other. We thank you for the power of prayer. We thank you, Lord God, for my brothers, my sisters here, Lord. Thank you that you have a plan for them, a plan to see them prosper and not come to any harm. And in the name of Jesus this morning, you have given us a victory, Lord, according to your word. So we give you all the glory. We give you all the praise for that. We pray that your mighty working arm, Lord God, will just be amongst your people. We come against, oh God, every attack of the enemy in the name of Jesus Christ. And we declare, Lord God, what your word says, that no weapon that is formed or fashioned against us, none of it will prosper in the name of Jesus Christ. So I pray that you'll be elevated, Lord God, that, Lord God, you will have your way, that your hand will just be upon them, that, Lord God, there will be clarity of purpose, clarity of vision. We pray, Lord God, that you will build them, that you, Lord God, will build them into a vessel, Lord God, that can be used, Lord God. We come against leakiness, Lord, and we pray for wisdom and understanding, that, Lord God, nothing, no leak, oh God, no leaky vessels in living waters in the name of Jesus. And so we pray, Father, that your power will work, that, Lord God, your presence will be intensified, that, Lord God, we will create atmospheres conducive to your presence, Lord. And we speak, oh God, your ability right now into the lives of my brothers, the lives of my sisters, Father. And we pray that you will have your way in the name of Jesus Christ. We come against every attack of the enemy, and we come against everything that comes against your well-being. We take a stand now in Jesus' name, and we declare that your purposes, Lord God, be done in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus Christ. We give you praise, and Lord, we give you all the glory for what you are doing and for what you will continue to do. We give you all the thanks, and we give you all the honor this morning, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, be glorified, Father. Be glorified. We declare that we will see transformations and breakthroughs, Lord. We declare in the name of Jesus Christ that we will see change, Lord, as we yield ourselves to you, Father, as we become available to not our will, Lord, but your will. And we give you all the glory, and we give you all the praise for what you are doing even now, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We give you all the honor. And Father, we say we give you all the praise as well. In the mighty name of Jesus. Be glorified in everything that is done, Lord. Everything that is said. Be glorified today. In the name of Jesus Christ. We give you praise. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Can we lift our right hands and just say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And Father, we bless you, Lord. We bless you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for who you are, Lord God. Thank you, Father, for what you are doing in the lives of our brothers and sisters, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, that every prayer is heard and heard and answered. We thank you, Father, that we will see fruit coming from this. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God, you may be seated. God bless you.